Prej. Om Gnati Vrangasya Gnanjana Shlakaya Chakshur Un Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Today we are celebrating Vaishnava Diksha, Harinam Diksha, and today is a very auspicious day. Why is it auspicious? Because today is the glorious celebration of the appearance day of a great personality named Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur appeared in the 1800s, and he is the spiritual master of Gorkhasordas Babaji Maharaj, who is the spiritual master of His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who is my spiritual master and who has asked me to carry on this disciplic succession. So what we're talking about is the principle of disciplic succession, which is basically how we know what we know. There's a part of philosophy that is called epistemology. Epistemology means, how do you know what you know? It's the study of knowledge. So if one is looking for the absolute truth, which the Vedic literatures tell us to do, tadvigyanartham eva. So, in fact, in the Vedanta Sutra, the first aphorism is atato brahma jigyasa, that one should look for the absolute truth. Why should one look for the absolute truth? The reason is there has to be a solution to the problems of this life. And the problems of this life are janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshana darshanam, birth, death, disease, old age. These are problems. Those of you who are young may not think that they're problems, but you will soon be facing those particular problems. And there are other problems, but generally they're under three categories: adiatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic. Miseries from the body and mind, miseries from material nature, and miseries from other living entities. So these are the problems in life. So if one is intelligent, one will try to ascertain what is the solution and how did I get into these problems? And that's the meaning of human life. Of course, animals, they don't try to find that out. They don't try to make a solution to their life's problems. They're also asking questions. They have problems too. But their questions are, you know, where is food? Where is mate? Where is protection? These are the questions that animals are asking. But what differentiates us as human beings is that we have the ability to ask the questions, you know, why am I here? Why am I suffering? How to make a permanent solution? How to live forever? How to be happy? And how to have knowledge, which, you know, are the three important aspects of life. So, tadviganartham sadgurum eva vigachet. So the way to find the answers to those problems, questions, is to find someone who has the answers. So there's many people who say they have the answers. So how do we find someone who really has the answers with incontrovertible truth? I mean, in other words, truth that cannot be denied. And one way we find that out is that we go to God, right? But most of us don't have the ability to directly go to God and say, my dear God, please tell me the answers. Some people do, like if you happen to be Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was the only person in the universe, so you don't have much choice. If the only person in the universe, there's only one person you can go to, is God. So he went to God. Actually, he didn't even know who God was. But he had the order of God. And that order was not so specific. The order that Lord Brahma received was tapa, do some austerity. And so Lord Brahma sat down and he meditated, did some austerity, and within his heart he had all the truths revealed to him. And of course, the truths that were revealed to him were spoken by him in this famous prayer called the Brahma Sangita. Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarvakarna Karna. I think you can recite that prayer as part of the fire sacrifice that's generally done. That Krishna is the absolute truth. He's the supreme controller. Ishwara Parama Krishna. And he has a body made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, Sachidananda Vigraha. And he's the cause of all causes, Sarvakarna Karna. And of course, the rest of the prayers in the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. That's the only chapter we actually have. There were, when you talk about five chapters, there are more chapters than that. Now, most of the prayers end with this statement, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. So that's the information Lord Brahma had, and he was able to perceive directly the spiritual realm. So that was Lord Brahma's spiritual master. But we do not have that same facility. Therefore, we have to find a spiritual master, a teacher, Tadviganartam, Sadguru Meva Vigachet, who is able to give us that knowledge. Now, how do we ascertain who is a bona fide spiritual master? There are several different standards. One standard, this is perhaps the most important, is the spiritual master must come in disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam, imam rajasyo vidahu. Like Krishna talks about that in the Gita. This is a verse from the Gita. That Krishna taught the sun god originally the science of Bhagavad Gita. The sun god taught to Bhivaswan, Bhivaswan taught to Manu, etc. That's one disciplic succession. But that disciplic succession happened to be broken according to Krishna in the Gita. But there's another disciplic succession, actually four disciplic successions that have not been broken. There's the Brahma disciplic succession. There's the Rudra disciplic succession. And there's a mobile phone. There's the Kumara disciplic succession. And there's the Lakshmi disciplic succession. Just like if you go to South India, you go to Tirupati, you find that generally the devotees are members of the Lakshmi disciplic succession. And the modern Acharya, the main Acharya in the Lakshmi disciplic succession, is Ramanuja, Ramanuja Acharya. So there's modern Acharyas, like in Brahma Sampradaya, Madhvacharya is the main Acharya. And you have Nimbarka, etc. Vishnu Swami, these are the main Acharyas in the disciplic successions. So you have to examine to see if the disciplic succession has been unbroken. Not only unbroken in the sense of someone declares themselves to be a member of the disciplic succession, but they have to be teaching the same thing as the members of the disciplic succession. In other words, they cannot come up with their own version, their own philosophical understanding. They have to be teaching from the Vedas. Because the Vedas, Veda means knowledge, and of course Vedanta means the conclusion of knowledge. But the Vedas are the source of the checks and balances upon which we can judge a specific teacher to see whether they're following the Vedic literatures. Obviously, they're following the Vedic literatures. So therefore, my spiritual master is Divine Grace of the Prabhupada, and all the Acharyas in our disciplic succession are able to corroborate, in other words, to prove whatever point they're making by quoting Shastra. By quoting the Vedas. Like you see, Prabhupada's books are filled with different quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, quotes even from the Brahma Samhita, quotes from the Vedanta Sutra, all these different Vedic literatures which have been given to us by Srila Vyasadeva. Ultimately, the Vedic literatures come from Krishna, but Vyasa divided the Vedic literatures. So, that's the standard. The spiritual master must be into cyclic succession. Everything he says, if you have a question, he should back it up with a quote from the Vedic literatures. And in addition, Samit Pani, Kshatriyam, Brahmanishtam, he must be fixed in his service to his guru. Because the point is that when one is in disciplic succession, a bona fide member, he must consider himself a servant of the guru. Just like I have been initiated by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, I am his servant, I am his slave. Nobody wants to be a slave nowadays. Well, they want some emancipation. So these neck beads that we get, they're, one time Prabhupada said, they're like a dog collar. Because normally dogs are pretty moochy, isn't it? Dirty. And in, I don't want to offend anyone, in polite society, you don't let the dogs in your house. Okay, I said it quickly. So, but there's one thing we can learn from a dog. He's very loyal and obedient. That's a very nice quality we can learn from the dog. So this is my dog collar, and I am simply, Prabhupada is pulling me along with a leash. What is the leash? You know what a leash is? That's what attaches to the collar. You know, you see people walking in Delhi with a dog. They go to a dog show or something. So Prabhupada is pulling me along with this leash and saying, go here, go here, go there, bow down, dandavats. Say this, say that, okay, yes, master. And of course, we also have some intelligence too, not just repeating, but repeating according to time, place, and circumstance, and we're pleasing Prabhupada. Just like I am thinking right now, of course, it's Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day today, so he's my grand, grand, grand spiritual master. And I am, Bhakti Vinod, that's what I said. Oh, Bhakti Vinod, I thought I said Bhakti Vinod. Anyway, so it's Bhakti Vinod Thakur's appearance day, and he's grand, grand, whatever, grand spiritual master. So I'm thinking that he's watching us today, and one of the things that Bhakti Vinod Thakur said is he said in the future, there will be the Europeans, the Americans, and everybody, they'll be chanting, coming to Mayapur and chanting Jai Satchinandan. So he's watching us today, and here I am in a Western body, if you haven't guessed. And I'm giving initiation to some very traditional people from India, who are from India. And Bhaktivinoda, actually you can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur smiling. He said, this is the fulfillment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Tipa Vipra, Tipa Nyasi, Shudakinanai, Ye Krishna Tattva Veda. Say Guru Hani. That one knows the science of Krishna, connected to the cyclic succession, he can be a guru. It doesn't matter what country they come from, what their background is, if someone knows the science of Krishna. So I see Bhaktivinoda Thakur being very pleased today to see this happening. And actually the devotees get very pleased, and the whole cyclic succession. One time, Prabhupada had a kirtan, and he said Narada Muni came. And the devotee said, what was Narada Muni doing? Prabhupada said he was laughing to see all the, you know, mulechas and everybody dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. So in other words, Narada Muni was pleased. So I see the whole disciplic succession pleased that this is an indication of the success of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission based upon the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, who was the foremost follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this day and age. So it's simply wonderful, we're pleasing Prabhupada by doing this. So anyway, so that's the point. We're servants of the disciplic succession. We're servants of our spiritual master, we're servant of his spiritual master, we're servant of his spiritual master, all the way back to Krishna. And it's simply wonderful. So I am happy today because I see the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, Gorkhashodas, Babaji Maharaj are smiling upon us. And I'm simply their servant. And that makes me happy. And so sometimes it's considered not so nice to be a servant. We're talking more about this. But Radharani is simply thinking she's a servant. She's the most powerful individual anywhere, even more powerful than Krishna. Not ontologically, but she controls Krishna. One of the qualities of Srimati Radharani is she always controls Krishna, keeps him wrapped around her little finger. All you ladies would like to do that with your wives. With your husbands. All your ladies would like to do that with your husbands, right? And later on I'll tell you how to do that. Not in class. The special donation required for that. But Radharani actually controls Krishna. Yet, even though she controls Krishna, she's simply thinking, whatever will make Krishna happy. Even if I'm unhappy, if that makes Krishna happy, that's my happiness. Even though she is the most powerful person anywhere by that control factor, she's thinking like that. So we should think like that too. Whatever makes Krishna happy, whatever makes Guru happy, that's my happiness. Whatever it is. You know, like we have that verse, Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted, by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything and remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So that's the happiest state to be in. So anyway, so that's the quality we should look for in a spiritual master. And the spiritual master gives us instructions on different levels of devotional service. What do I mean, different levels? There's different levels of advancement. When you first start, when you first start Krishna consciousness, you have to gain faith, and then you begin to practice on the level of Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means practice. Now, most people don't want to be regulated so much, they want to be spontaneous in the beginning. Isn't it? You come to Krishna consciousness spontaneous, you pick up the harmonium, you just want to play it without practicing it. But in order to do something nicely, you have to learn practice doing it, whether it's the drum, whether it's the harmonium, whether it's Krishna consciousness. And that's important in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not something you can just take a pill and become Krishna conscious, or just like come to one kirtan to become Krishna conscious. You have to practice it. That's called Vaidhi Bhakti. And the Vaidhi Bhakti practice is basically chanting the Lord's holy names, avoiding a few activities that are counterproductive to Krishna consciousness. Of course, with these devotees here, their whole lives they've been following the four regulated principles, so I'm not even going to talk about the four regulated principles. It would be an insult. With the rest of you, we talk about the four regulated principles. Yeah, we go into depth why breaking the four regulated principles is bad. I'll talk about that for 2 hours. But for them, no, four regulated principles, the whole life they've been following. So we'll talk about the 16 rounds. So you got 16 rounds, which is part of Vaidhi Bhakti. You take a promise, a vow, to chant 16 rounds minimum every day, because if we try to just do it when we feel like chanting, we may not chant 16 rounds. Some days we may chant 24, some 25, 64, other days 0, 1, 10, whatever it is. So that's why it's important to make a promise. Promises are extremely important in the Vedic culture. Prabhupada was very shocked when devotees didn't keep their promises. He had never experienced that before he came to America. He experienced that when someone made a promise, when someone got married, they stayed married. He never believed when people got divorced. He thought it was just unbelievable. Even when some of his disciples got divorced, he just like was shocked. How is this possible? But for us in the Western world, we're very much callous to that. In other words, it happens every day, right? You're callous, it means we've become desensitized to irreligious activities in the West. That's unfortunate, isn't it? Because we're exposed to irreligiosity every day. We just think, oh, that's normal. Completely normal. Right? Like there's a study, there was a story in the Vedic literature about a Jamil. He saw, you know, let's say a man with his girlfriend. I know there's another name for it. But, you know, anyway, a man with a prostitute. And Prabhupada said, in those days, it was very rare to see something like that in public. But today we see everything in public. And so we become desensitized to illicit activities, to not keeping your promise, to divorce, to remarriage. It's just something, you know, it's part of life, isn't it? It's part of life, normal life. Welcome to the Kali Yuga. Actually, it was interesting. I was talking to one devotee today. He has a friend who's a follower of some bogus guru, I won't mention. And the bogus guru said, it's not Kali Yuga, it's Treta Yuga. And I said, well, I'm just waiting for Lord Ram to come, since it's Treta Yuga. But it's Kali Yuga, I assure you. Read the Bhagavatam. Predictions, Kali Yuga. So many predictions. People will think they're religious because they have a certain dress, they dress in a certain way, the governments will tax you too much, and people will run to the forest to get away from them. Anyway, so there's so many symptoms that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and they all are coming true or are true already. Kali Yuga. So it is Kali Yuga. And people do all these horrible things, and we become accustomed to all these horrible things, but we ourselves should cultivate the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means to tell the truth, to be equal poise. These are very important for advancement in devotional service. So when people take initiation, they promise to chant at least 16 rounds a day, and hopefully a little bit more on a kana sheet. In addition, other practices are important, such as offering all your food to Krishna, living in a holy place, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping Tulsi Devi. These things are extremely important activities. The Nectar of Devotion, which is the commentary and translation on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is Srila Prabhupada's book that elaborates on all these details. Prabhupada said the Nectar of Devotion is like the law book for the Krishna conscious society. So it is dependent on how seriously and strictly one follows that determines how fast they make spiritual advancement. And if one follows strictly and sincerely, within this lifetime, they can go back to Krishna. By the end of this lifetime, they can go back to Krishna. If one doesn't follow so strictly, then maybe many lifetimes, as Krishna says in the Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavamam Prabhajate Vasudeva Sarvaviti Sa Mahatma Sudrulabha. It may take many lifetimes. You may go to the heavenly planets in the next lifetime, then come back to the earth planet. Or you may take birth in a devotee family in the next lifetime. But make a solution to this lifetime, because who knows what you'll decide next lifetime. So that's the point. It depends on you how quickly or slowly you make spiritual advancement. Follow directions and shastras with your heart. Pray to Krishna with your heart, and you make rapid advancement. Don't commit the offenses on chanting, which we're going to mention right now, and you'll make rapid advancement. We're going to go really quickly through the offenses. I guess you told me I should do it in a positive way. Okay, we'll do that according to the order of Krishna Chandra. So, first offense is to blaspheme the devotees, is not to blaspheme those who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. And the opposite of that, instead, you want to make advancement, you serve the devotees, you praise the devotees, okay? Just turn each offense around. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, or the other 33 million of them, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Instead, you just understand Ekalishra Krishna, Adasabha Vritcha, Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. I'll translate that. You understand the name of Krishna is non-different from him. And the names of the demigods, they're just labels, like position, like prime minister, president, assistant, secretary. So the administrative president is Indra. So Indra means, you know, the best. So he's like up on top. Brahma also means the best too. So you understand the demigods are just servants of Krishna. Aham Adirhi Devanam, etc. So many verses there in the Gita. And so the third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Obviously, the positive is what? To obey the order. Doesn't take much brains to figure that one out. Because the spiritual master is speaking on behalf of Krishna, out of compassion to help someone in devotional service. Just like a doctor, if you find a good doctor, you go to the doctor and he says, I think you should take this medicine. And you think, I want a second opinion or a third opinion. Oh, I don't like the taste of the medicine. Sometimes people don't take because they don't like the taste of the medicine. If there's a good doctor, I'm not saying that every doctor is good. Some of them are pretty challenged. He's a good doctor. Anyways. And then you take the medicine if you have faith in the doctor. So the spiritual master, sometimes he gives you medicine. Doesn't taste so good, but take it anyway. And then the next offense is blasphemy of the Vedic literatures, of course. We glorify the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Even literatures in other cultures, like in the Christian culture of the Ten Commandments, sure you should follow it. Good idea. Good idea. First commandment is obey the order of your spiritual master. The Ten Commandments, right? No, I know. I know them. I'm not going to recite them. So sure, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff out there that's not coming from the Vedic culture. So you know how to accept those things which are good. And don't criticize them. Don't criticize people of other religions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically states, Hare Krishna, specifically states when we see someone doing something in another religion that's bona fide, then we appreciate they're worshiping the same God but in a different way. Don't criticize other religions. And next one. The offense, of course, is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. They're not. Krishna's there. In other words, consider that chanting Hare Krishna, Nama Chintami, again, that same verse, Krishna's directly there in his holy name. Next offense is to give some mundane interpretation, speculative interpretation of the holy name. Then give the real meaning of the holy name. Krishna is there. The word Krishna means Krishna, means that he attracts you, and na, he negates the material existence, and also gives you ananda. That sort of meaning is fine. You're not speculating. That's the Shastric meaning. We have a musical interlude. So then, you give the actual meaning of the holy name, so you don't speculate on the meaning. So the next defense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. Do devotional service on the strength of chanting. Pray to Krishna. That's the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, please engage me in, O energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's service. And the next defense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be like one of the auspicious rituals listed in the Vedas, like Karma Kanta rituals. It's not. You have rituals. Discriminate between what is a ritual and what is the essence of Krishna consciousness. You know, one ritual that we do is we wear dhotis. That's a ritual. You can still go back to Godhead wearing pants. There's no uniform check. Like when Krishna's Vaikuntha airplane comes and they look and you're wearing pants. Go to hell. It's not like that. If you're a pure devotee, you can go back to Godhead wearing pants, swimming suit if you like. If you're a pure devotee. I mean, even these dhotis are something new because traditionally sannyasis, they would wear a lungi. Lord Chaitanya wore a lungi. He didn't wear a saffron dhoti like me. So, you know, there's certain external things we do, which are necessary, which are good. I like wearing a dhoti. It helps me like Krishna consciousness. But it's not the same as chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is transcendental. We have to understand what's external. I mean, like, for example, here's what we call Brahman thread. See this? Brahman thread. It means I'm superior. So, so Brahman thread means that someone's been initiated as a Brahman. But in the traditional sense, the sannyasis, they would actually get rid of the Brahma thread, the Gaudiya sannyasis. And so it's considered so important. But Prabhupada one time, he was giving a lecture, the microphone kept slipping from the microphone stand. So what did Prabhupada tell his disciple? Take your Brahma thread off and tie it up to the microphone. So I went, oh my God. But the devotee was facilitating the preaching of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, which is a higher priority than a thread around your neck. And there's many people with threads around their necks that are not Brahmins. They are what we call, Prabhupada called them, sacred thread holders. So, anyway, we're not going to get into criticism. So, we have these different rituals, but the chanting of Hare Krishna stands far and above any ritual. Like Lord Chaitanya says in the Shikshastika, Nam Namakari Vada Nija Sarva Shaktish. There's no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna. You can chant them, like I fly a lot in an airplane, I chant them when I'm in an airplane, which is an impure place. Because people are eating meat next to me. That's pretty impure, right? But I chant it. I'm still chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, that meat. Anyway, I don't chant, oh, that meat. I just chant Hare Krishna. But, you know, I'm chanting in spite of being in an extremely impure place. So there's no hard and fast rules. One can chant anywhere. So it's not like a ritual. There's a hard and fast rule. Just like you're coming across this time in the year called Pita Pak, right? You ever heard of that before? Oh, no more chanting Hare Krishna for that period. No more worshiping the deities. No more vegetarian food. Oh, what? No more offering my food to Krishna. So, no. Krishna consciousness is transcendental. It has nothing to do with Pita Pak. You could take initiation during Pita Pak, you could take initiation during Deva Pak, you could take initiation during Chaturmasya, you could take initiation, whatever. Any other holiday during Ganesh Chaturdasi, you could chant Hare Krishna all the time. Don't think it stops during a certain time. Even if someone dies in your family, you still chant Hare Krishna. You don't do the deity worship, but you still chant Hare Krishna. Why? Because that's the best thing you could do for the departed soul. Not that you offer the departed soul cigarettes and think that's the best thing you could do for him. That's what they do in Fiji. Horrible. Horrible, mundane concepts. Anyway, sorry. So, it's not a ritual. And ninth offense is to not preach the glories of the Lord to those who are faithless. All right, so let me explain. The opposite of that, the positive of that is you preach the glories of the Lord, understanding how to apply it according to time, place, and circumstance. Everybody is ultimately a devotee. So there's always a way to reach everyone. For example, if I was preaching to Robin, how would I do it? If I was preaching to Robin, I wouldn't open up my mouth. I would open up his mouth and put in some prasadam. You understand? That would be my preaching to Rama. Oh, here's a sweet. I wouldn't tell him it's offered to Krishna or Ram. I would say, here's a Rakshasa sweet for you. And give it to Rama. And then he would take it and start chanting Hare Krishna. Because Prabhupada said, if someone takes prasadam, they're guaranteed a human birth. If someone takes prasadam, they will become a devotee ultimately. Like one time Prabhupada was saying about people distributing Simply Wonderfuls, if you give out Simply Wonderfuls, someone will come to the temple, they'll become Simply Wonderful ultimately. And of course the devotee who heard that said, Prabhupada, you were Simply Wonderful. So in other words, it's like a magic bullet. Prabhupada called the Glubjamans magic bullets. Bullets, ISKCON bullets, magic bullets. Because it goes into the heart, from the mouth to the heart. Actually, there's a channel between the mouth and the heart for most people. And through the ears, too, obviously. Bhagavatam says, Bhavati Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. There's a channel between the ear and the heart. And for most of the men, it's between the mouth and the heart. If you ladies would like your husbands to be obedient, that's one lesson number one. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So, that's why Prabhupada says kitchen religion. So anyway, so that's that offense, that's the positive of that offense. The last offense is not have complete faith in the chanting of holy name, maintaining material attachments. Try to get rid of the attachments by chanting, pray to Krishna, become attached. Instead of trying to get rid of the attachments, become attached to something positive. Rasa vargam, rasa prasa, param jasadi vartite. higher taste. Be attached to the chanting, be attached to the prasadam, be attached to every aspect of Krishna consciousness. It is so attractive to the Tulsi worship, to the deity worship. Who would not be attractive to Radha Giridhari? Who is more attractive than them? Put up your hand if you're more attractive than them. No, my hand. Put up your hand if you think your wife is more attractive. Actually, there was an interesting story. Once upon a time, this is from South India. Once upon a time, there was a man who thought his girlfriend was very attractive. He was walking in front of her, walking backwards with an umbrella over her head and fanning her with a peacock fan, or a chamara, sorry. He was fanning her with a chamara and doing puja for his girlfriend. And this great devotee in South India, Sripad Ramanujacharya, saw that. And he said to the man, "Come here, why are you doing that?" And the man said, "Because my wife has, well, my girlfriend, has beautiful eyes." And Ramanujacharya said that if I could show you someone with more beautiful eyes, will you come? And the man said, "Yes." He thought there was a girl somewhere. And then Ramanujacharya took him to see the deity of Varada Dharaja. That's in Kanchipuram. He took him to see the deity that night, and he looked at the deity and went, "Wow, it's better than my girlfriend." And he fell in love with Krishna. That's a higher taste. And he got married to his girlfriend. And they lived happily ever after and went back to Godhead. So it's a romantic, happily ending story. So, and then ultimately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is our one of the main acharyas in chanting Hare Krishna, wrote this wonderful book called Harinam Chintamani, which I ask the devotees to read in the future. He said, surrounding all these 10 offenses is the offense of inattentive chanting. So if one is attentive, they won't commit the other offenses. So in other words, be attentive. How can you be attentive? Chant with your heart. Have some bhav, emotion when you're chanting. If you don't know how to have emotion, read the Shikshashtaka, Lord Chaitanya's 8 prayers in relationship to the holy name, in Radharani's mood, will help you develop the right mood towards the holy name. And then when you do that, you'll make rapid advancement, you'll love Krishna, have a higher taste, you'll be in ecstasy, and all the problems of this world will seem inconsequential. In other words, so small, they won't bother you anymore. That's Krishna consciousness. So that's the reason we're here. We're here to get rid of the problems and ultimately to go back to being with Krishna spirit in the spiritual world, enacting one of the 5 different rasas or relationships with Krishna in the spiritual world. That's the goal. And we'll see you all in the spiritual world. No, I'll stay here. So everybody else goes out. So anyway, so now we'll proceed with the initiation ceremony. And so each prospective initiate will come up. And as I said before, we're only going to ask the devotees to promise to chant 16 rounds. There's not going to be anything about the 4 regular principles because these devotees have been following their whole lives. And one of the principles of manners is you don't insult people. Everyone understands that? But the rest of you, when you get initiated, I'm going to ask you in detail. You know, like if I'm in Fiji, I go into detail. When they say no intoxication, they say no combo. I have to be very specific about what what means intoxication. Okay, so first, of course, is Venkata. We'll come up. First, you offer obeisances to Prabhupada. This is the procedure. Offer obeisances to Prabhupada, the deities, and then my not-so-humble self after that, and then we'll give you the beads. All right. This is definitely very cutting. Yeah. What? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, one after the other. Then after that is Vijay Lakshmi. And after her is Tarawati. We have 3 nice devotees. And these devotees, I have no doubts in, I have no anxiety about. Normally, at these initiations, I'm in a lot of anxiety about the people. Praying to Krishna, are they going to be able to follow? But in this particular case, I am very happy. There's no karma for me. I know there's no karma. So no reaction. Pretty good. Normally, the guru takes the karma of the disciple when they give initiation, but if the disciple has no karma, that's the ideal disciple. What's that? Everybody has their neck beads? Okay. Okay. Thank God. So, how many rounds do you chant?
16
rounds minimum, and try to chant more in the Kadasi. So, here's the phone again. Someone's phone. Please turn off the phones. Or turn it on mute or vibrate. So you get the beads with your right hand and your name, and I'll give you your bead bag at the same time, oh, a second later, is Venkateshwara. Venkateshwara Das. Venkateshwara Das Kutai. So his name refers to Venkata, so it's Venkateshwara. And that's Balaji. That's a South Indian name, see?
Yeah.
What? You come from there. So you're a Venkateshwara, Balaji. So you may be able to guess what, but even at the price of the beads here. Anyway, you don't want to get that. So you can probably guess what your wife's name is going to be. Not Venkateshwarini. Okay, so you can sit down now at the fireside place. Okay. How many rounds?
16.
16 rounds minimum. Try to chant more on Ekadasi. On Ekadasi is
25.
Yeah, at least. Well, if you can chant 25. On Ekadasi, I usually, if I don't have anything to do and Krishna Chandra doesn't keep me busy, I chant 64 rounds on Ekadasi when he leaves me alone. So you get the beads with your right hand, and your name now is Sri Devi. Sri Devi Kutai. Of course, that's in Balaji, you know, Venkateshwara, Sri Devi, and Bhu Devi are the two consorts of Venkateshwara. Sri Devi, so it's very appropriate, isn't it? South Indian names. Hare Krishna, Sri Devi Kijai. Hare Krishna. Is it appropriate? Okay, so Tarawati. Whoops, I forgot Sri Devi's V bag. You can give it to her. Okay, and English okay or?
A little bit.
Or kitten rounds?
16 rounds.
No, Hindi. Solar. Okay. Is that right? You know, I do learn things. So, and try to chant more on Ekadasi and get the beads with your right hand. Your name now is Sri Shakti Devi Dasi. So that means the three Shaktis of Krishna. Vishnu Shakti Para Prakta Trish Shetragya Ketata Para Vidikarvich Sanginya Tritira Shakti Ishite. And so the Shaktis of Krishna are feminine. What is that? Tri Shakti Kijai. Tri Shakti Devi Dasi Kijai. Make sure it doesn't have the price on it. The other one had the price. Should have checked that. Give it to me. Okay, so you can proceed with the fire sacrifice.